Additional Encore audio archive recordings are available at www.12stepTapes.com. We request you not upload this recording to the major free outlets. We are happy to allow free listening on our own site with a subscription service. Contact us on www.12stepTapes.com for more information.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for the invitation, Becky, and everybody else. Can you hear me now? How about now? Louder? Like that? I stopped yelling at people when I got into Al-Anon. This is my permission. Thank you. All right, so understanding ourselves. I have to stop my timer just a minute. Tap to start. Hi, everybody. I'm Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
I'm a grateful Al-Anon member. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself today. Sorry for the ones that have heard me over and over and over again. That's just the way it is. And every time I tell you over and over again, I learn a little bit about myself. And you know what? I'm not nervous. That's pretty cool. Guess I belong here now. So I'm going to tell you my stats. I've heard people tell their stats before, so I'm going to do that because that makes me feel like I really belong here. So I've been here. I just celebrated 20 years in May. Thank you. My home group is Courage to Change, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday in Fresno. I have some of my friends here from Fresno. Thank you for coming here and supporting me. Where did I come from? Ew, that's the yuck. I'm going to tell you the yuck first, and then we'll get to the good stuff. I know that I am from a military family. I come from a Catholic family. And I know that I come from an alcoholic dysfunctional family. How do I know that I come from a military family? I grew up in Port Hueneme, California. That is where the Navy base is. How do I also know that I'm from a military family? I still have some of that rigidity. I come home every day, I take off my clothes, I used to take off my uniform from the Catholic school, and I change into my play clothes. I also know that I come from a Catholic background, just like I said, because I had to change out of my clothes. I'm very, very rigid in that everything has a place. I have to be perfect. All that stuff. Can you not hear me still? Can you hear me? Louder? Honey, turn up the microphone. That means something else to me. How about now? My voice is still going to go down because, you know, when we're in Al-Anon, the worth is way up here and then, anyway. Alcoholic home, I come from an alcoholic home. How do I know that? My mother died of the disease. I do not today live in the disease of alcoholism. Why? Because I have an Al-Anon program and I know that I don't have to live in the disease of alcoholism. I have choices today. Thank you, Al-Anon, for showing me that I have choices. And I know that I don't have to live in the disease of alcoholism. Thank you. Thank you. I grew up in a dysfunctional home. I did not know it was an alcoholic dysfunctional home. I did not know it was alcoholism. I didn't know until I got to the program of Al-Anon. My parents divorced. My parents divorced when I was about 10 years old. Dad retired from the Navy and he wanted to move to Arizona. Mom said, no way. We had a house, everything was wonderful. I was the oldest of three girls. And I was the boss when Dad was overseas and Mom was working three jobs. I was the oldest of two other girls, two other sisters. And life was great. I got to be boss at 8, 9 years old. I was the mother. And, everything was, like I said, a military household. You know, we did chores every night after dinner. We got up from the table, we cleared the table, we swept the floors, everything got washed and cleaned. Our uniforms got ironed, and our shoes got polished, homework got done, and we went to bed by, after Truth or Consequences, by 8 o'clock. And that's how, you know, our life was. We got up at 6 a.m., we had breakfast. Mom always had breakfast ready. She was probably gone every morning, but everything was laid out the night before. We went to the refrigerator, we got whatever Mom laid out for us, and we went to the table. Again, dishes got taken care of, and we were off on the city bus to school. I hated Catholic school. Hated. I whined to my mother, can I please just go down the street to the school that all my friends go to? I hated having to go to school, having the nuns check my uniform every day. I hated going to mass. I hated going to church every single day. I hated confession. In fact, that's where I learned how to lie, going to confession. What is a 7-year-old going to confession for? That's where I learned how to lie. I'm not going to lie, but that's where I learned how to lie. I finally got my wish in second grade. My mom said I can go to Tierra Vista Elementary School, which was down the street from us in the new complex that we lived in Oxnard. And right here's Tierra Vista School, and right there in the new complex of the new homes at Pleasant Valley Estates was the pond, the stream, where we used to catch guppies. And I loved going there. I could wear pants to school. Life was really, really cool. My mom worked at the tournament bowl as she ran lanes, and she did cocktails, and she worked in the coffee shop. That's what she knew how to do because her father, too, was an alcoholic. Her mother died when she was on the boat coming back from Guam after her husband was in the military. Her mom died, and she just couldn't wait to get home to start her family. She had 7 miscarriages before she had me, and I was her little princess. I was my dad's princess. He would carry me up on his shoulders onto base, and I was just his princess. He was remember the ham radio stations for the Vietnam guys? He started that station on Port Hueneme Navy Base, and I can tell you that that is pretty much the only memory I have of my dad, because by the time I was 10, he was retiring and he was going to be moving. And I remember talking to my aunt not long ago, and she said, you had a great childhood up until the time you were 10, and then pretty much everything fell apart. And it did, because after that, I remember my mom being asleep on the couch all the time. We always had to wake her up because she had 3 shifts that she worked, and we'd always have to wake her up, and she was hard as heck to wake up, and I didn't know she was in a blackout. I learned about blackouts when I got here to Al-Anon. She was in a blackout. My sisters and I would take turn waking her up, and we'd shake her and shake her and shake her and shake her. She'd never wake up, but she would wake up 15 minutes before she had to get to work, and she'd go through her clothes and throw things and scream things, and it was just a chaotic mess. And by the time she'd be running out the door to get in the car, my sisters and I would sit down and take a deep breath. Oh, thank God she's gone. Thank God. And it's just sucked. I remember moving on a little bit. By the time I was 11, I was working. It was not okay for me to go to school. And I knew that because my aunt had just gotten me that Princess Diana haircut. And I was doing my hair, remember that hair? And I remember she was stressed out again, my mom. And she threw the brush at me and said, what the hell are you doing? I said, getting ready to go to school. And she said, no, I need help. I need help right now. She threw the brush at me and said, come on, we got to get ready for Kathy's birthday party. My sister had onset of juvenile diabetes, and they had a big party for her. They were going to bring her a bike and everything. We didn't know she was going to live. We found her in a coma. And everybody was bringing her gifts because she was still alive. And my mom needed help to get that party ready. So it wasn't, at that point, I knew it wasn't okay for me to go to school. That was a selfish thing for me to do. So I stopped going to school. I knew I needed to help with work, and I did. I got a job. My first job was in Carpinteria, if anybody knows where Carpinteria is, between Ventura and Santa Barbara, at Santa Claus Lane, and I was the kitty-trained engineer, and I drove that sucker around and around and around. I hated that job. I really did. I moved up, and I got to work in the reindeer room, if anybody knows where that is, Santa Claus Lane, and I was my mom's bus girl for a long time. Moved to Santa Barbara and worked at the Marmonte Hotel, and pretty soon I met my first husband. I thought, he looks normal. His mom was a stay-at-home mom. His dad was a physics professor at UCSB, and I thought, that looks really, really different than my family, because I didn't have mom and a dad and all that kind of stuff. My life was just chaotic, and I didn't know. And I really needed to get out of my household because I was really tired and frustrated with taking care of everybody. I didn't think that was my role. So, hooked on to this guy, figured how I kept him was to get pregnant. I got pregnant, and we started our family. I was 16 years old at that time. And we ended up having three kids. I did not know he did not drink. Something was wrong with him. I didn't know what was wrong with him, but something was different with him. He didn't drink. He wasn't a go-getter, though. You know, he just wasn't a go-getter. And I found that I was doing the same thing in my marriage that I was doing at my mom's house. I was taking care of him. I was working three jobs. I was taking care of the kids. Just, you know, that kind of stuff. I couldn't identify that I was a caretaker in this marriage. And I started doing things outside of the marriage. Not having an affair and stuff. But I couldn't stay home and do wifey things. I wanted to go to the bookstore. I wanted to go here. I wanted to go there. My first son, at a year and a half old, he wasn't doing you know, all the childhood things. So I took him to the doctor. Oh, he'll catch up, don't worry. Took him again at 2 years old. Oh, he'll catch up, don't worry. He's not speaking. He's not doing all those childhood things. And I ended up taking him to Easter Seals. Oh, he's mentally retarded. Oh, he's got cerebral palsy. He's got this. He's got that. But he didn't fit into anything. Years later, after lots and lots of temper tantrums and all kinds of behaviors, he just had a lot of different things going on. Finally, sixth grade, he was diagnosed as autistic. We had a lot of chaos in our family, a lot of different things that I hadn't suspected. I had babysat all my life. I had raised a lot of kids babysitting. I raised my two sisters. I had never experienced anything like my first son. My husband at that time could not deal with that. He was more of a... I'm going to take David to the hospital because he can't breathe. Okay, I'll meet you there after I get off work, 4 hours later. He couldn't deal with anything like that. I didn't know that we were both affected by the disease of alcoholism. I didn't know that his mom was a heavy drinker. I didn't know any of that kind of stuff. And she was. We didn't know that we were two broken people trying to make a marriage work. A 16-year-old trying to make a marriage work. That wasn't going to happen. I didn't know that I had been affected by the disease of alcoholism. We ended up moving to Las Vegas at one point, thinking that that would make things better. I didn't know that I had been affected by the disease of alcoholism. So we did a couple of geographics. I didn't know about what a geographic was until I got to this program. Finally, that husband started having symptoms. He was suicidal at one point. He did not kill himself, but he had 4 suicidal attempts within our marriage, within our 17-year marriage. And back in those days, this was early 80s, they didn't have a diagnosis of bipolar. It was manic, or suicidal, but nothing like bipolar. So he was never diagnosed. He finally died 10 years ago or so. And in the meantime, I have 3 kids, and they're acting just like their dad. And I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't. I knew my oldest was autistic, and since then it's been changed around many different times. His official diagnosis is pervasive developmental disorder, and that doesn't mean anything other than it comes under the umbrella of the spectrum. Okay. The second one, Anthony, my 40-year-old, he was dealing a little bit, using a little bit of alcohol, using a little bit of drugs. To this day, let me tell you, he won't cop to anything. Won't cop to anything. I can tell you I have pictures of him in 7th and 8th grade where he looks higher than a kite. Anthony, you were using that, huh? No, Mom. He'll tell me that today. But I can tell you the nights that I went driving around looking for him all over the beach, the parks, parked the car at 10 o'clock at night and go looking for him. I found him a couple of times, but he will not admit to it to this day. I can tell you he went into the service. He was in Yemen, he was in Afghanistan, he was in great shape, he was a runner, he was a basketball player. Great. He was a straight A student. He was an honor student. And we had a rough relationship. I'm not going to try big words today. We had a rough relationship. I never understood why we had a rough relationship. I never drank. I never did drugs. I never understood. We didn't talk for a very long time after he went to boot camp. And I don't understand why. Other than I've been affected by the disease of alcoholism. What I do, Anthony? You know. In 2008, I had a grand mal seizure. They didn't find the brain tumor till 2009. Billy called him. He was in Yemen or in Afghanistan, one of those. He calls him. Billy doesn't know if I'm going to live or not. He says, your mom's on the phone. She just had brain surgery. Do you want to talk to her? Yes, he talks to me. We have a little bit of a conversation. He says, Mom, I love you because you're my mom, but I don't know if we can have a relationship. I don't think we can. I took it. Okay. It is what it is. Thank goodness I had a little bit of Al-Anon at that point. And I accepted what he said. We hung up, and I didn't talk to him again until 2016. He was mad at me because of what was going on with my youngest son. My youngest son, he was using and abusing too. I had enough Al-Anon in me at that time, I kicked him out of my house. He couldn't live with me when I had an autistic son in my home doing the things that he was doing. You know, one time I walked in, Billy and I walked in, and My youngest son had his fist in my autistic son's stomach. He was bullying him. No, that's not okay. I was getting ready for work one day, and my youngest son was bullying me. They said, "You need to leave." "No, I'm not gonna. You can't stay here. I have nowhere to go. That's not my problem." I think Nick was about 16 at that time, something like that. "You have to take me." "No, I don't. You can go find a place to go. You can't stay here." I'm in the bathroom and he comes at me with his fist, misses me, and his hand ends up out the window. I call the police. SWAT comes to the door. So I finish getting ready for work. They're out looking for Nick. They don't find him. I get to work. I'm a server at this point. Who's waiting for me? I have a big party. SWAT. That's the party that I'm going to serve. Talk about shame, embarrassment. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't know how Nick ended up in Thunder Road, which is a treatment center for teenagers. I don't know. I don't know how I'm not so pissed at this kid that I will take 2 days out of my week off work to go do this counseling. I don't know, because I didn't get unconditional love growing up. But I'm doing it. It's Al-Anon. It is Al-Anon showing me the way, because it's my kid. I don't know. It was just the right thing to do. And this kid doesn't want to talk at all. My other kid doesn't want to talk to me. Little jerks. But my middle boy was mad at me because I kicked him out. "You don't understand what's going on here, Anthony." No, he didn't, and he didn't want to understand. "You should have been there for him sooner." He didn't understand the dynamics of it. This is what I'm taking to my meetings, though, because I needed to talk about this. I needed to understand this. I don't understand what's going on. And everybody hates me. My ex-husband at that point, "You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. If he comes here," all that stuff. I said, "Well, here, he's open. Come and get him." And he did. At his dad's house, he broke down a window. He broke down this. "Here, you take him back," he said. So I did. So that's enough of the yucky stuff. How did I get through that? How did husband and I stay together through this? Well, I can tell you, we didn't both have program. We wouldn't have. He would have gone that way and I would have gone that way. And it is the service. It is the recovery, and it is the unity that keeps us together. It is the fellowship for me. It is the unity, and it is the service that keeps me together. Because if I didn't have this, heck, I don't know. I don't know. If I didn't have service commitments, if I didn't have Al-Anon, when I lost my hair that was down to here and I went bald, I don't know how that would have gone. Well, I know. I'm an isolator. I don't want to get out of bed. Last year when I had radiation and chemo, no. I don't want to do shit. Excuse me. Crap. So when it's time to go through my steps, 1, 2, and 3, I don't want anything to do with steps 1. Let me tell you. "Don't you know," I said this to my sponsors, "don't you know where I come from?" She said, "Yes, I do. Let's start the steps." Steps 1, 2, and 3. Power greater than myself. Don't you know that I had to be more powerful than anything? She said, yeah, you're an Al-Anon now. Let's do this. Okay. Steps 1, 2, and 3. It doesn't have to be a god. Maybe your god was just the god that you used to know. Maybe there's a possibility that there is another god. Maybe it's just a higher power. Maybe it's just something else. Maybe there's just a maybe there. Maybe it could just be something else. All right. And that's where we started from. Because the God that I had, it was just, they were just letters. I needed to find something else, and I did. And the first step in that was throwing out everything I ever knew about church, religion, God, and everything. I needed to find something else. And gratefully, I did. Thankfully, I did. Step 2 for me. And 3, my gosh. Step 4 for me was difficult because I didn't want to believe I did anything wrong. Nothing. I couldn't do anything wrong. It was, it was understanding ourselves simply. It was just simply understanding ourselves. I had been damaged. I have been affected. I'm angry. And I need to be put back together. Amends? Come on. Come on. Oh, gosh. Let me skip over real quick. When I saw the warranties, that kind of lifted my spirits a little bit. Because that added a layer of protection for me. And that helped. Does anybody have a service manual or the steps handy? No? I just need to look at the steps. Yeah? Okay. I didn't say that I'm all there. I'm just here.
Sometimes.
So I got a little more courage when I read Warranty 4, that no conference action, leave the conference out of it, never be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy. That gave me a little bit of courage to continue on with my steps. They're not going to make fun of me. They're not going to hold me responsible like my kids just did, or the rest of my family. And becoming humble wasn't going to come back on me, if that makes any sense. But to me it did. And to become entirely ready to have God remove all the yuck from me. I speak in kindergarten terms. If it feels yucky, it is yucky. And to have God remove all those defects of character. How am I defective if I'm a child of God? What do you mean? And that one brought me back to that religion that I belong to. So you're saying he's a good God, but he created me with defects? So what are you saying? I could twist things up really well. So it took me a while to get through that. I skipped to the making amends part. because my kids were hanging there a little bit, and I wanted to write all that stuff. I remember going to my mom and my aunt at that point, growing up, because I have rape and molestation in my story. I'm not going to go into that. But I remember going to them and saying, hey, this happened to me. And it was never acknowledged. Never acknowledged till I got here to this program. And when Anthony, my little boy, wanted to speak, it was really important for me to hear him. Really, really important. And I wanted him to say anything that he needed to say. Because if he's telling me that he loves me but we can't have a relationship, I need to hear whatever he has to say. I'm his mom. I can tell you that today, that relationship is all good. Only because of this program. Only because of Al-Anon. He knows I go to Al-Anon. It's not for him. He's not my business. He lives in the Philippines. I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on with him because he shares whatever he shares with me. I don't give him advice. I don't get into his business. I know he's not going to have a baby he's not going to father a baby himself. He adopted the son that was there in the Philippines when he got there. He met his wife on Match.com, which is wonderful because that's how Billy and I met, Match.com. but he won't because he knows he carries a gene that could lead to some kind of mental illness. But I can tell you today, I stay out of my kids' business. And I learned that through this program. My meeting, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday night, we are a book study on Saturday night. We're going through how Al-Anon works. Just when I needed to hear it, we read, by letting go of whatever, it allows them to earn the dignity and integrity that they so deserve. Because I really want to know stuff about my son. It's none of my business. Thank God. Thank God. Because he doesn't call me. He texts, but no, he Facebooks me all the time. We can't call because he's in the Philippines. My other son that lives in Orange County, he's in a lockup facility. That one is schizophrenic. He was using drugs, street drugs and all that stuff. And I've learned a lot about that. A schizophrenic will use all kinds of stuff. That's none of my business, too. That's the one that I kicked out of my house. He was out of control. And I was trying to fix that kid. I had thoughts to buy an apartment building so we could house a lot of them because, you know, that one needs one. I even thought about buying that one a house because that way I could be his staff member and I could have doctors. Oh, my gosh. And I read, by allowing those people to do what they need to do, they're going to find dignity and integrity on their own. And I had to completely let go of him as he lived on the streets for 7 years, 8 years, something like that. I didn't even go looking for him on the streets. Because when I see him on the streets, it's like, okay, good, he's still alive. Still alive. I stopped doing that too. It sucked. It sucked. Many nights I cried myself to sleep. Many nights. But coming to program, having my Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday nights, my commitment meetings, getting on another meeting just in case, or going to that meeting just in case, you know, having the unity of the traditions talk about the unity of the program, the fellowship we go out every Saturday night, you know, I'm committed. In service, I have to have a service commitment. I got to have a service commitment. I didn't bother. I didn't do what I usually do. I didn't. My son walked from Fresno, barefoot, to Laguna Beach. And he was found. He was found under somebody's porch sleeping. I didn't know where he was, but I was going up to my prison meeting over at Kalinga several years later, and Billy calls me and he says, call this lady. She has information about Nick. And I called her. Do you have a son? Yeah, I have three of them. What was he wearing the last time you saw him? And I told her, oh, he's still in those clothes. They're barely there anymore. He's barefoot, too. And his hair is so matted, it's like a helmet. And I'm crying at this point because it's been a year or two. He walked through through the grapevine, barefoot. But he's found. He's in a lockup facility in Orange County right now. I didn't think I'd ever talk to him again. I talk to him every Thursday. That's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. That's Al-Anon doing for me. Let me tell you, he was picked up many times in Fresno, 5150 and all that kind of stuff. They let him out the next day. There's no help. He's going to be on his road because we let go of him. That's not something that I would have shared anywhere else. You mean you let go of your kid? I would have been judged up and down saying that anywhere else. I could tell you too. I remember the night that I said this in my home group. God, I hated my mom for what she did. I just hated that. Today I know it was the alcoholism that I hated. I loved my mother. Absolutely loved my mother. She was a great grandma. She was, all my boys miss her so much. But I can tell you, today I have an understanding of what alcoholism is and does to families. Understanding ourselves. Oh my gosh. And I have so much compassion for my mother. I'm sad. I'm sad that my mom didn't get the help. Because I know she was an alcoholic, but more importantly, she was an Al-Anon member just like me. She just didn't get there. And I feel so sad that she didn't. Because I know what I felt and how I am today. I know my mom had a wonderful husband, my stepdad. Oh my gosh, thank gosh she found him. But I miss her so much. December 22nd, 2000 is when she died. And I'm so grateful. It was the grace of God that I got to be there and hold her hand and lay my head on her tummy when she died. I can tell you, I couldn't stand her. She pissed me off so much that she was doing that. But it was just the grace of God that I got to be there with her. I was so happy. And I remember leaving here because I moved from Wainimi October of 2000. She died December. Getting the call and then going there. And I don't cry. I don't. And I remember crying all the way down there thinking, this is the last drive that I'm going to make. Shit. Damn it. So today I can tell you I've worked my steps. I've worked my traditions. I have a sponsor. I have a service sponsor. And I have it's a word I'm looking for, not a Christian sponsor. But I have a spiritual sponsor. I'm in service at the district level. I'm in service at the group level. I'm in service at the area level. I have to stay in service. Because I can tell you that a lot of those phone calls that I get from my son, they're difficult. They're easier now. He'd call me then, and he'd just sit on the phone, breathing. He had nothing to say. I'd ask him questions. They're easier now. My son is schizophrenic, though. He's schizophrenic. It's tough. Grateful that I don't want to go out and buy him a house and stick him in it. Really, really grateful. My middle boy, the one that's in the Philippines, he doesn't have any problems. But he is 5'8" and he weighs close to 300 pounds. Tell me he doesn't have a problem, you know? That's none of my business. It is none of my business. I'm going to meet him where he's at, and I have compassion for him. I can tell you I'm grateful that he sought help for the things that he saw when he was overseas. He He doesn't think he's bipolar, but the meds that he's on for his wartime stuff is helping his bipolar. So I'm grateful. My autistic son. You know, we heard last night how back in the 80s when all the programs were taken apart by the president that was in office, there used to be so many programs, and I had so much hope. My son was in a program. He was going to stay there the rest of his life. He hit 18. I fought a little bit harder. He hit 21. Here you go, Mom. My son lives with us today. He's 44 years old. He will probably live with us till we die. And you know what? It's okay today. He can balance his checkbook. He gets, an autistic person is very rigid with their schedule. He does exactly what he does when he wants, and that's okay. He babysits our dogs when we're out doing service and doing things that we enjoy doing, such as being here. I have a truly amazing life today. Husband and I, Billy and I, have been married 23 years. 23 years? Okay. He remembers better than I do. I was done with marriage. I was perfectly happy being single. I got online one day because I was sick. He got online one day because he was playing hooky. Or I was hooky too. And I had never been on Match.com. He was on Match.com. One profile, I found him. Or he found me. 23 years later, we're very happy. My ex-husband, Billy Walker. Billy Walker. Tell me that's not a God shot. Anyway, my time is up. I appreciate everybody being here. I appreciate being here. Thank you all for listening.